Fuck you! Australia! Germany! America!
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, given the events of the last week and a half, week or so, technical stuff-wise, I hope that better late than never applies in this particular circumstance. Hope, yes. It is 12 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. This program is live. Even if the tired old, God only knows how old, the production machine is half dead. We're live. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. For the 17th day of May, 2017, a Wednesday, midweek even. Yes, and thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. Hot at 11 past the hour. Very good. Good to know. So, just in case you're wondering, we are streaming. We've got two separate streams going right now, the one at headon.live and the White Rose stream, which means that unless somebody tells me otherwise, tune in should be carrying the stream, as should Roku, etc. So, it isn't, okay? I mean, not that I could do much about it. But, the Jug of Punch telling me in the chat room, wowee, the White Rose is back. Thank you, Ben Birch. Indeed, thank you, Ben Birch, for really, really, really a brutal amount of work getting the White Rose server back up and running. Okay, that's funny. First cowbell of the evening goes to Matt Tastic. Room. There are more streams going than at a public urinal. Silent R. Lamar says, yes, you're forgiven for the delay. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. That's important. And believe me, I would not, I would have been late, but sometimes you don't get any choice in the matter when you're dealing with a computer. It's like having a pet buy. You know, you can't really... They don't sit on your lap and they don't wait to be petted. They just kind of operate on their own. I mean, even more so than a cat. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Did I say that yet? I don't think so. And it is, yes, and indeed, the live program on the May, on the 17th day of May, 2017. And it is the middle of the week and it is downhill to Friday. But brethren and sistren, oh my goodness gracious. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Now, granted, I had vanilla yogurt with mandarin oranges in it. Splurging with the oranges. But the little old blue-haired ladies down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen outdid themselves this evening. I think it's the three straight days of pretty weather we've had. Got them thinking that summer was coming or something. I didn't have the heart to tell them that there's more monsoon headed our way. But it got them inspired. Lord, 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 when those little old blue-haired ladies get out the mixing bowls and get out the flour and the baking powder and the soda and the salt, and they start to gently work in that lard into the flour, and then you can't work it too hard, but oh my God in heaven, the biscuits those women can create And so that's pretty much what Fellowship Hall prayer meeting Wednesday, Fellowship Hall dinner was. Creamed stewed tomatoes over fresh, hot biscuits. And they did. They whipped up a pan full of Kaneka to go alongside it, and the hickory smoke and the smell of that simmering cream tomatoes. Oh! Well, at least my olfactory system could appreciate it. But everybody else ate heartily. And then over there on the dessert table, they did one of those bundt cakes where the outside comes out all crispy and crunchy. And it was lemon. And they made a sort of a clear, sweet lemon glazed sauce that you ladled onto it. I thought the deacons were going to go at the sauce all by themselves with straws, but there wasn't a crumb left, and the little ones were once again inspired to go forth and grow up and become deacons in their own right here in the fellowship hall. So what they're going to do is now that all the crumbs are gone, and that there wasn't much left of the tomatoes neither. Oh, cream stewed tomatoes are so good. And they trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs. And they then wandered out into the parking lot where, as is their usual practice, they took to chain smoking with the sinners. And they'd gotten down. They must have been expecting some serious preaching tonight. Because they got about four cigarettes chain smoked down before Sister Carol Baker appeared with the solar-powered cattle prod and inspired them to flight. And they did. They blew right past her, even as the cattle prod was a-crackling away, and went through the vestibule and past that desiccating bowl of butter mints all the way down front. They're waiting for us now, and I have good news, brethren and sistren. Thanks to the kindly efforts of Brother Fab and others of you over the last couple of nights, our buddy Scott's challenge, the Mayday May challenge, has been met. So as the heavy brass plates with the burgundy velvet lining and the PayPal button in the middle get passed amongst us, well, brethren and sistren, I can happily report that all we got to do is raise the evening's usual $200. $200. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12.50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or 64 at $3.13. And we'll just keep that rounded up half a penny and put it into the Mayday May fund, if that's all right. So, brethren and sistren, with every head bowed and every eye closed, except the one you keep scrunched open just a wee little teensy-tiny bit to keep from getting cronked in the head and winding up with a traumatic brain injury from being hit with a heavy brass-bound offering plate with a burgundy velvet lining, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to bring forward, brethren and sistren, the minister of music to lead us in the offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht.
Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Dobby, a Kiddly Dobby too. Wouldn't you, brethren and sistren? Oh, wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome, one and all. I'm calling upon you now in this 22nd minute past the hour, 6 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, brethren and sistren. I'm calling upon you to get up off of your seat and, ha, glory, onto your feet and kind of squeeze and scrunch and try not to stick your rear end in your neighbor's face because the pews are kind of close together here in the cathedral. Get on out into the center and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer. Ha! Glory. And feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from hope. Amen. The server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Glory, hallelujah, praise his holy name. Amen and amen, whirls without end. Oh, brethren and sistren, we got real news to get into. We got serious news to get into. The ante just got umped. It did. The ante just got upped on Comrade Kumquat. Looks like we're going to have a special prosecutor after all, after weeks and months. We don't need one of those. Who needs one of those? That's just purely superfluous. Well, now we're going to have a special prosecutor. Not sure which part of it was that pushed him over the edge. Maybe it was Frankenstein. You're kidding, right? Maybe it was the fact that he realized that his reputation was going straight down the toilet if he didn't do something pretty quick. But brethren and sisters, we can talk about that later in the program because we have important things to discuss here. Yes. We live in perilous, glory, tremulous times. And the times in which we live, well, brethren and sisters, there are people out there who are trying to make matters worse than they already are. And we turn here at the beginning of Prayer Meeting Wednesday to noted bucket pudding salesman. That still sounds filthy. Noted bucket pudding salesman Jim Baker, who knows who's causing all the trouble. You know who that is? Yeah, Stephen Colbert.
Get ready. I know something big's going to happen. You think there's not shaking in the world? There's warfare. I'll tell you what. There's warfare in our government. Yeah. Did you see Colbert on the air the other night talking about the president? He said, terrible. I'm telling you, this isn't normal comedian, happy, funny stuff.
Angry.
This is hate Trump. Kill Trump.
Right.
Kill the president of the United States. The president recently just signed this amazing bill that allows us to be able to speak freely on our TV shows.
Time out. It wasn't a bill. It wasn't passed by the Congress. It was an executive order. But Jim Baker doesn't know the difference. And, well, frankly, neither do the people who get buffaloed into his studio there in Branson in hopes of getting a free bowl of bucket pudding. But beyond that, you know what the difference is? But there's two people we're talking about here, Jim Baker and Stephen Colbert. There's only one of them has uttered the words, kill Trump. And that's Jim Baker in this clip. Stephen Colbert has never said any such thing. But insofar as he's a Christian, I think we can take it as read that Jim Baker is, of course, a liar.
On our church pulpits, because there was a Johnson bill that said that we couldn't even talk about political things. But he signed the bill today that told the IRS, you cannot come for Jim Baker again. You cannot come and take him away. Because they're preaching what they believe.
Oh, my God. Somebody was there blowing the shofar. That's called the shofar, isn't it? The big old smelly ram's horn. Hoo-wee. Well, there's only one problem. Donald Trump's order didn't say you can't come for Jim Baker again, because the IRS never came for Jim Baker for politics and from the pulpit. The federal government came for Jim Baker because of dirty bits of finagling that he was doing with his dirty bits, among other things, there where he built a water slide for Jesus. And to recall the words of the late, great Sam Kennison, I can't wait to be at the Day of Judgment when Jesus looks at Jim Baker and says, where the f*** did I say to build a water slide? But yeah, Stephen Colbert. If I'd asked you the question, who's the greatest threat to Donald Trump in America today? You, me, all of us, we probably would have gone 24, 48, 72 hours before any of us ever said Stephen Colbert. But see, that's what happens when you get the gift of prophecy. And you find it in the bottom of your bucket pudding. That's absolutely right. Sister Carol Baker pointing out Cousin Jim was a doink and a secretary using proceeds from the holy water slide for Jeebus. Beautiful thing, isn't it? Yes. I've used the phrase a number of times in this program since, like, January 20th, 2017. I can't keep up. And I can't. But it doesn't just apply to the madness specifically with this White House and this regime. I can't keep up with all the demon-possessed people and all the Satanism going on out there. Not even close. Take, for instance, pastor, brother, minister, evangelicalist Rick Joyner. Now, Rick Joyner has hissies pretty much on a regular basis. But he reached deep into his bag of tricks for this one. I mean, this, as my buddy from deep in southern West Virginia used to say to me, well, Bob, this beats cat's fucking. Wait, I got the wrong freak. Hold on. There he is. There it is. Different freak. Okay. This goes back to our buddy Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, who prevented his daughters from becoming softball lesbians by praying over them and making sure that they kept their hair long and didn't have big bottoms. We played the clip, you remember. Well, he fired, and it's all tax-free. He fired up his little tax-free scheme not too long back to discuss, of course, Hollywood. Whenever I hear the word Hollywood, I always hear it in the voice. You remember Sandy Kenyon at CNN? For years and years and years, he was, in the early days of CNN, he was the Hollywood reporter. He was the Hollywood gossip columnist. He was the Hollywood correspondent for CNN. And his out cue was always, Sandy Kenyon, CNN, Hollywood. And so whenever I see the word, it's just what happens inside my brain. Whenever I see the word Hollywood, Hollywood is what I hear inside my, it's terrible. You don't want to live here. So, but anyway, he had a guy on by the name of John Roberson to explain what it is that Hollywood is, and his other tagline, Sandy Kenyon's, was something like, Zsa Gabor, dead at 97. Sandy Kenyon, CNN, Hollywood. I'm sorry, I'll be okay in a minute. Note coming in from Steve in New York. That would be Brother Usher Steve. Just think. Well, thank God, says Steve. Just think, Jim Baker just got out of prison for speaking politics. Oh, wait. No, he didn't. Oh! Hate a cousin, Satan! Carol Baker says, I just had lunch with Satan. He sends his regards. Hate a goober and Satan. Our buddy the Angry Indian says, which Jim Baker is this? Oh, is there more than one? If there is, I don't know if the universe can stand it. But anyway, so Coach Dave, my daughters aren't softball lesbians, Daubenmeyer, went on his tax-free radio, video, YouTube thingamajiggy to interview John Roberson, whom I have never heard of. But he's described as a Hollywood insider. And for a Hollywood, but for a Hollywood insider, I got to tell you, as this clip will show, he's a little behind the times. Let's see, 19 years behind the times, if I've got this right. Well, let's go to the clip. You might want a hockey puck for this. I mean, just, you know, trying to help.
Much of what is used in Hollywood today that would be considered Luciferian in nature, really comes from a lot of the druidic incantations, the druidic witchcraft, the worship of Gaia, of Earth, in 9th and 10th century England. And prior to that, you can trace that through...
Oh, time the hell out! Druidic practices from 9th and 10th century England? Okay, this is one of those moments when we wander off into the historical weeds. There were no druids in 9th and 10th century England, or 8th and 11th, or 7th and 12th. The druids were largely wiped out in England within a couple of generations by Roman legions marching under the banners of two people, one, Julius Caesar, and two, the Emperor Claudius. Caesar wiped out the Druids on the continent, because these were, we're talking here, of course, about the Celtic religious mysticism. Caesar made a point of cutting down the sacred groves and killing the living bejesus out of, out of the Druids themselves. Big Druids, little Druids, fat Druids, skinny Druids, tall Druids, short Druids, even Druids with chicken pox. Never mind. So to say that Luciferian elements in Hollywood harken back, and then Gaia itself is not even druidic. Oh, for pity's sakes. But this is just the beginning. Wait till you find out. Wait till you find out how he knows. Wait till you find out the example that he has for the world to prove his point.
Kabbalistic witchcraft, Jewish mysticism, all the way back really to what was going on in Babylon. So I want people to understand that there's a distinct through line from the time that the Babylonians were sacrificing kids to Moloch in the temple at the top of the Tower of Babel, at the top of that construct. From the time that they attempted to slap God right in the face with that stuff to Hollywood today, you could do an exhaustive study and find a distinct through line in the practice of witchcraft.
Only if you have a very active imagination and a somewhat damaged, cerebral cortex. But then again, I'm a heathen. Enter Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, and let's hope we don't get any softball lessons.
This pedophile thing is real, John. I don't want to argue whether Pizzagate's real, rather that there is pedophilia running rampant in Hollywood, has been there for years.
You know where pedophilia is running rampant? Everybody, ready? All over planet Earth, because it is a psychopathology that just happens inside the human mind of some human beings. That's where pedophilia is rampant. And it's rampant. I mean, if I were Coach Dave Daubenmeyer with the cross on my baseball cap, I think before I started worried about pedophilia rings in Washington, D.C. or Hollywood, California, I'd worry about the pedophilia rings that are in virtually every aspect of Christian churches and other faiths as well, all over this country and all over the world. I know. But see, it's kind of hard to say that the devil is running loose in stiletto heels and a pointy tail and a big old obscene, never mind, inside the church in America. You know, that's one of the things. You never hear these white-wing evangelical freaks talking about the fact that there's a story a week or a couple of stories a week about some preacher somewhere, some youth minister somewhere, who has gotten caught stooping an 8-year-old. Oh, no, it's Hollywood, right? Right.
You've seen it close, upfront, personal. This is the real deal, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad, and Coach, we would be remiss if we didn't touch on that for a few minutes here this morning on Coach Dave Live. And folks, we cover this on Hagman Report all the time, and more on that later. But anyhow, this is what happens, okay? you want to get these kids in a compromising position as soon as it's possible. Again, going back to the age of 12, and this happens a lot. Now, when I did that conference last weekend, I prefaced this by saying, you are now going to see a picture of who I regard to be a true American hero. And I put a picture of Corey Feldman, a promo shot from about 2 years ago up, okay? Corey wrote a book where he exposed pedophilia at the highest upper echelons of Hollywood. We're talking executive VPs of development, producers, mega power agents, and the international bankers that fund all this stuff, okay? They throw parties. The parties become orgiastic. They ply these young kids with pharmaceuticals. And see, they don't necessarily try to get them drunk at 12 or 13. You just give them a few pills. And then what they do is...
Wait, am I to understand that the pills are less a problem than getting them drunk? Are we sure we're not getting a master class in fundamentalist pedophilia here?
They will capture on video these young kids in very compromising positions. And I'm not just talking orgiastic behavior. I'm talking about a multi-partner homosexual. It's hard to get this stuff in the right verbiage, but I'm talking bloodletting.
Oh, he was so close to being punked by the goddess of irony. He was about to say, it's so hard to get this out of my mouth. But I guess Jesus was looking out for him. Brother Deacon Asa, by the way, says, I call bullshit on the Druids being the source of filth in Hollywood. Dang it, coach. We all know it's the Jews! Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for our prayer meeting Wednesday Mel Gibson reference. Of course.
Bloodletting, animal dismemberment, and as we are now learning since the quote-unquote Pizzagate story broke out of the WikiLeaks data dump of early November 2016.
You ever notice that, did you ever notice that for some reason or another, the same data dump that had Pizzagate in it somehow didn't manage to discredit the rest of WikiLeaks? I know, funny, isn't it? Yeah, it's called selective belief, I think.
We're learning that there is this global pedogate issue. And folks, I got news for you. It goes all the way back to the sexual practices of the Babylonians. You wonder why kids are going from Toronto to Hollywood to Haiti to Mexico City.
Because they're on the way to Babylon? I can't keep up.
Because when God dispersed the Babylonians, they took two things with them. Child sacrifice. And what we call pedogate, pedophilia. So in Hollywood, they want you compromised at a young age because once they've got the goods on you on video, they own you. And that explains, I'm not making allegations here, but that explains why a mega talent like Robin Williams would make something like Patch Adams.
I'll be damned. So if I've got this right, a mega talent like Robin Williams made Patch Adams because children were being sent from Toronto to Babylon. Still, I can't help but ask at least one question about why mention of the children who aren't sent anywhere except church, where, you know, they get raped by a servant of the God. I know. It becomes taxing after a while, doesn't it, Sister Earl? Grow up! All belief is selective. You know, sometimes if you ever get into a conversation with a fundy and they don't have a gun on them, and you say, because, see, I studied them, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Of religions on this planet, and the minute I sign on to one, I become an atheist to all the others. What? And you say, you don't realize that? Well, I ain't no atheist. Yes, you are. You certainly are. You don't believe in Allah now, do you? Well, no. That's your Muslim Sharia law. Okay, so you don't believe in anything that the Muslims believe, right? Well, no, because I won't go to heaven to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, then, you are an atheist as concerns Islam. How do you feel about, sitting around chanting, sitting and chanting Buddhist style? How do you feel? I don't believe in that Buddhist stuff. Okay, so you're an atheist to Buddhism. Well, I ain't no atheist. See, your average fundy thinks that atheist only means don't believe in having a personal relationship with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that's where, it's quite a challenge. But it can also be, as long as the said Christian doesn't have a gun, enjoyable. Corey Feldman asks Marty, the guy from the Goonies. Apparently so. Sorry. I know. Painful, isn't it? But it's even worse than Dave Daubenmeyer and Jim Baker think. It's a lot worse. And I'm sure the simple souls who are participating in that silly ass lawsuit would probably agree with what they're about to hear. The silly ass lawsuit I was talking about last night. We go now to Chappie Klingenschmidt. You know, if you'll put a little disinfectant on your chappies once in a while, you won't get any Klingon on your Schmidt. But Chappie knows. Yeah, I know. Struck me, Keith. Keith pointing out, this guy sounds like he has firsthand knowledge of this subject. Well, a lot of them do, and that's why they point to Hollywood and the Jews and Comet Ping Pong Pizza, because it makes it ever so much easier to rape some little boy in the rectory. If you know what I mean. And you do. So, Chappie Klingenschmidt, the disgraced military chaplain, fired up his Pray in Jesus' Name thingy, and it's all tax-free, to let the world know that if you're not out there voting Republican, well, sugar... we know who you're serving.
Let's take a moment and discern the spirits. Where in this...
I hate it when he does that. It's like rubbing it in. Because I can't discern spirits anymore. I can't even discern vanilla extract. And on a beautiful day like today, clear blue sky, warm temperatures... The only thing I wanted to do, not that I didn't want to be here, but given my druthers and knowing that the monsoon is coming back and we'll be here for the weekend, I would have dearly loved to have sat down at an outdoor table with maybe an umbrella over it and discerned a pitcher of margaritas. But no, Chappie's out there discerning the spirits all the time. And I wish he would save some, by God, for the rest of us. I mean, ice cold margarita, and not any of that bullshit with the margarita mix. I'm talking about the stuff you make from scratch: lemon juice, sugar, tequila. Maybe if you're feeling particularly expansive, a little splash of Grand Marnier instead of triple sec. And a blender with a motor on it that you can attach directly to the terminals of a die-hard battery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind. And I'm a purist. I like mine with salt. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's. But I'm sorry. We gotta get back to Chappie. Right. Okay, Chappie's going to discern the spirits. I think it'd be, personally, I wish he'd just, I think we'd all be a lot better off if he'd just discern some wood alcohol, but I mean that way.
Story, are the Holy Spirit, or the angelic spirits, or the demonic spirits. Now, we can see the human actors. We see Tom Perez, who's the DNC chair. We see Congressman Durbin from Illinois. We see a former Democrat Congressman Bart Stupak, and they're all having this internal disagreement. Of course, the Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, weighs in. They all have their human opinions. But where is God's opinion on this? Where is the Spirit of God influencing some of these people to do what is right? Or where is the devil influencing them to do what is wrong? And of course, we believe angels are messengers from God that may whisper in our ear from time to time. The way you can tell where those invisible spirits are is by looking at the human morality of the human actors involved according to the biblical lens of moral ethics, right and wrong. So if the Bible says that something is sin or wrong, or says, you know, life begins at conception, or life begins in the womb, and that's a biblical truth, and it's a sin to commit acts of murder against innocent children.
It's actually not a biblical truth. You can check in with the people who wrote it, and they'll tell you that it's not a biblical truth, the people whose book it belongs to, because this is more of that pointing back at the Old Testament bullshit that they're so good at, but never, who am I?
Then you can tell who the demonic spirits are, or at least who they're influencing, when you see people like Tom Perez and Dick Durbin saying, not only shall we kill innocent children as a matter of policy, citing Roe versus Wade, not only shall we use American taxpayer dollars to pay for the shedding of innocent blood, but if you're not demonic like we are, you can't be a Democrat like we are.
So are we clear? If you're a Democrat, you're demonic. You can't be a Democrat and not be demonic. Of course, there are no demonic Republicans. There's absolutely nothing demonic about voting to, say, take away health care from 24 million people. Absolutely not a damn bit of demonic about that. No, sorry. Supporting a budget process that would take away federal dollars from Meals on Wheels and leave elderly people and people at risk and veterans to go hungry. Not demonic. Thinking that a woman has a right to control the workings of his innards. Pure 200 proof demonism. Are we clear about this? Good.
They are now welcoming and claiming, I hope this is not true, but they're claiming that every Democrat in America must be demon possessed as they are in order to be faithful to the views of their party. And if you don't serve the devil, you can't be a good Democrat. I'm paraphrasing, but that is what they're saying, isn't it?
You lying sack of shit. You're not paraphrasing. You're just yanking shit out of your ass. God almighty. And you know, this is what you get when you unmuzzle the religion industry. This guy's no more a man of the cloth than I am, and I'm not. This guy is no more a spiritual leader than I am the admiral of the 972nd battle fleet of the planetary space navy of Norblap 9. Yeah, it's going to be time to pray in a minute.
God, for the Spirit of God speaking through Bishop Timothy Dolan and Father Frank Pavone and even Bart Stupak, who was one of the last compromisers on Obamacare. I disagree with him politically on that. But thank God that he is standing up within his own party against the demonic spirit of murder and standing for the principle of life. You gentlemen are being influenced and manifesting the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says this in Psalm 106, they even sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Let's pray about this. Would you pray with me?
No.
Father in heaven, we pray against the evil that is inside some people. We don't pray against the people. Father, we bless the people.
God's all-knowing, all-seeing, so Chappie has to clarify that he's not praying against the people, just in case God gets confused. Maybe he's only paying partial attention to Chappie because he's trying to make sure that some fundamentalist member, golfer on the PGA, sinks a 6-inch putt and doesn't have it lip out and go 30 feet past on the downhill slope with the grain of the green. Just to clarify.
Us. We bless even our political adversaries and enemies. Father, we ask that you would bless them with repentance so that the devil, our true enemy, would come out of them and they would be converted and saved and forgiven of their heinous sins.
Do you ever get as sick of this shit as I do? Because I do get sick of this shit. Imagine the nerve of this sanctimonious, pusillanimous pissant to think that somehow or another he who says that he did not support the passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that gave health care to millions of Americans who'd never had it before, who might now be dead but for the ability to go to the doctor, that this shitheel thinks he's more moral than you are, than I am. I'd scream F you at this little creep, except for the fact that I wouldn't, never in a million years, without regard to whether one is gay or straight. I mean, I've seen so many clips of Chappie Gordon Klingenschmitt. Does he have kids? Is there actually a woman on earth that is willing to have sex with him? Is there a gay 20-something hanging out in a mall parking lot that would even be willing to admit that he had sex with him? And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And this. I've been saving this for several days, ever since Sister Carol Baker drew my attention to it. It comes out of it comes out of Africa, the continent. Not the novel Out of Africa. No. And it has to. And there's a lot of really, really good fundy stories that come from the various countries of Africa. because it has been heavily evangelized by some serious, serious freaks. Big-time freaks. And when I say freaks, I'm talking primarily I'm talking about the pastors and the believers. It's hard not to take a dim view of Christianity, given its manifestations in Africa, things like there's a witch burned alive, witch stoned to death story just about every week. And so it was. I mean, just like in America, there's a pedophilia story. And there seems to be some question as to whether this story is real, but when you hear the facts of it, you can't help but want it to be real. It's the it has to do with a pastor who was full of himself and told his congregation that he was going to fast and pray for a week, and then he would show the strength of his faith by walking on water just like Jesus did. It originated, the story did, in Zimbabwe Today, back in March. A Zimbabwean church pastor attempting to demonstrate how Jesus walked on water by crossing a South African river on foot was reportedly eaten alive when he was attacked by three crocodiles. I'll take a moment here so you can laugh. Jonathan Mthewa of the Saint of the Last Days Church in the town of White River, Mpumalanga, brought his congregation to the area known locally as Crocodile River, before attempting his biblical recreation on March 24th, local media reports. According to witnesses, the pastor entered the water and waded out approximately 30 meters before attempting to make his way to the surface. Unfortunately for the pastor, three crocodiles are said to have pounced and devoured him. I, for one, would like to see a crocodile pounce. I mean, they got those stubby little legs. I can't imagine crocodiles are very good at pouncing at all. Now, I'm looking at the Snopes analysis, and the Snopes analysis says, despite the fact that there was no reason given in any article for why a pastor and presumably his congregation from Zimbabwe was in South Africa to begin with. Okay, see, I took that to mean that the river was in the southern part of Africa, but you know, whatever. Not the nation of South Africa. Not to mention why a pastor would choose to demonstrate walking on water in an area literally called the Crocodile River. Really, Snopes? You don't understand why a preacher would do that? When he's leading a congregation that practices its faith with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other? The Daily Post picked it up. And you know, it may be... It may not be true, but the thing that makes it so believable is the fact that it could be. without any kind of a stretch of the imagination whatsoever. You get the idea. So it is 6 minutes past the hour on this prayer meeting Wednesday, and my goodness gracious, haven't we had a delightful boatload of stories of faith in action? We have. And we're going to take a break. But before the break, just one more, because it has a certain resonance with something that's in the news today. Pastor, brother, minister, huckster, Rick Joyner, takes these videos of himself blathering along on his back deck. And he's got a bad case of idolatry going on. He worships, and I do not use that word lightly, he worships Donald Trump. And being as how, you know, we're all demon infested, I guess it's no surprise. Trump isn't. And you know what? Trump's going to prevail.
So let's talk a little bit about the Comey memo. Supposedly he has this memo everybody's stirred up about now, proving, according to the media, seeming to prove, if not indicate, there was a hindering of the investigation on the Russian influence in the elections by the White House. The Comey has a memo of where he records kind of journals, notes from every meeting he has, and he has in his memo, supposedly, this hadn't been shown yet, supposedly it's in his memo that the White House asked him to stop that investigation. Guess what? The White House can do that. There's nothing illegal about that. If they did it, it's not a crime. That is not obstruction to just ask them. And there's a reason they're asking, not because they're trying to hide their guilt. It's because of the FBI under Comey has been so devoted to majoring on minors and missing the big things that they exist to take care of, like terrorist attacks. Listen, this Russian infatuation is, I mean, it's bizarre. It really is.
Pardon me for saying it, but dude sounds a little bit like Brain from last night, doesn't he? Russia is not our enemy.
And it's because they hate Trump so much, they're just trying to find anything. That's one reason, I believe. The other is, you know why our media hates Putin so bad and Russia? I'll tell you the main reason. You'll never see this in the media. I don't even think you'll see it in the conservative media. But I'll tell you the real reason. It may surface somehow. I think sometimes God makes that happen to verify things. But I'll tell you the real reason. Putin hates the LGBT. He hates that whole gay agenda, and he will not tolerate it in Russia. That's one of the reasons that he, is threatening Ukraine. He felt like that influence was just pouring into the Ukraine, which Russia considers the Ukraine like their fatherland. This is the seedbed of their whole nation. This is where their nation started, in the Ukraine. Now, I'm just saying, I know this to be the case, but we'll just see if it gets illuminated somehow. I think Trump is going to fight and fight and fight. He's fighting on every side. He's fighting his own party. as much as the other party. He's fighting in every direction. He's a fighter. He was made for that. I told you, he's an alley fighter. He can fight in a lot of directions at once.
Dumb little punk. Trump has never thrown a punch at anything that could ever fight back. Jesus Christ. But, you know, Rick Joyner gets a stiffy for Putin because Putin, you know, has gay people murdered. If that doesn't tell you anything, everything you need to know about evangelical Christianity, I don't know what would. These people have a murder hard-on. These people have a tax-free bloodlust. Don't think for a minute that if they could get away with it, they wouldn't be slaughtering gay people left and right in the United States and praising Jesus while they did it. Do you remember? It was a lot of years ago now, but at the height of the popularity of the Left Behind series, there was a Left Behind video game that they put out briefly, I think, in which you got extra points for gunning down or bombing or otherwise slaying gay people. And I think they were, if I recall correctly, they were marked in the game with a pink triangle. Now, where would that have come from? This is tax-free, government-sanctioned hate. And someday we need to have a more of a long-form conversation about this topic. Because you do realize the Constitution of the United States says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Here, let's be precise before I get an email. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the Establishment Clause. You do realize that by providing tax-free status to churches, that Congress is in violation of the First Amendment, right? Because they're establishing a religion. It does not prohibit the free exercise of religion to expect the religion industry to pay its fair share of taxes. But when the government gives tax-free status to religion, the government says, here, we're going to give you something that we don't give to other businesses, to other collectors of wealth. Here, we're going to let you get out of paying taxes that nobody else gets out of. It is a diminution of the commons. And I frankly don't care what religion, Buddhist, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Unitarian, Flying Spaghetti Monster, they are all takers of the commons. And every tax-free dollar that goes into the religion industry is an amount of money that is denied to the government of the United States, you and me, you know, we the people, trying to form that more perfect union. Nothing in the preamble of the Constitution about setting up a tax-free dodge for gospel sharps now, is there? But we have let this idea get so far out of hand that a homicidal freak like Rick Joyner can't see his hands in this video. Fantasize about how wonderful it is suppresses, and by suppresses, I mean has tortured and murdered members of the gay community in his country. I don't know about you, but I find that deeply disturbing. And Brother Usher, I promise you, I will beat that fucker until his mama can't recognize him. Sorry, Bob, but I'm sick of LGBT people being the brunt of their hate. Whole broadcast here, raising off of his hate for gay people. You know how it goes. Well, if you want to see God's plan for America come to fruition, and understand that in his sick, twisted, demented mind, God's plan for America includes slaughtering gay people. Just dig deep and help support this ministry. And remember, every love offering you send is tax-free. And you can write it off on your taxes. And that's how God will bless you. Whew. So, the fun part of all of this is that Rick Joyner says that Trump's going to beat the rap. Robert in Australia asks, do these guys just make this stuff up as they go along? It all sounds like the plot to a B movie. I'm so happy I walked away from this crap 40 years ago. Robert from Oz. Well, that means that you're nice and healthy, Robert. Not sick like the followers of these freaks. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, I disagree with your assertion that the Flying Spaghetti Monster religion shouldn't be given tax-free status. Carb loading can get expensive. Oh, rub it in. What I wouldn't give for a big plate of pasta. You know, just with the garlic and olive oil and butter and some Parmesan. Oh, that by God does sound sanctified. Maybe if I get some Siggy's Icelandic-style yogurt and work in a little garlic and some butter buds and some onion powder and... Nah, it's not going to work, and I've just put everybody off their supper. Good God, Bob, that's disgusting! Yeah, you haven't tried the you haven't tried the raw oyster kiwi fruit yogurt yet, obviously. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm going to go ahead and say, here endeth the lesson. Because I don't know how much more upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Christian love I can stand before I have to see my dinner yogurt again. So let's take a break. It's 20 minutes past the hour, just 10 minutes short of halfway through the program. And I will note that, again, we met our buddy Scott's Mayday May Challenge. And we've just got our regular nightly $200 to raise. And thus far, we are, and some nights we are, but it's tough on Prayer Meeting Wednesday because so many people tune in for Prayer Meeting Wednesday. So far, we're at zero. But we can clown around about the religion industry all we want to, but it comes down to a brutal, hateful, ugly, bloody truth. And Matt in San Francisco has encapsulated it. Subject line. Their words lead to our death. These people and their predecessors have been responsible for the beatings and deaths of gay people since long before I was born. They and their way of thinking leads to gay teens having higher suicide rates. They are complicit in fostering a public consciousness that turns its head when we are victims of violence. The fact that they can propagate this all without being taxed makes me ill. They pay nothing while pushing their hate, while we gay people pay in blood. I don't think that is what was meant when Yeshua, the Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, said, turn the other cheek. No, it's not, Matt. And we have so fetishized the idea of free speech that in the name of that free speech, we are all too willing to sacrifice the lives of innocence. Because that's what it boils down to. Other countries are free, but they have hate speech laws. To our immediate north, there is a robust and healthy hate speech law. And it doesn't seem to be affecting the freedom of Canadians one iota. They don't put up with this crap in the Scandinavian countries. They largely don't put up with this crap in Europe generally. Mostly it's only in countries that we deem to be uncivilized that this sort of thing takes place. Oh, and by the way, the death and torture camps that are being reported in Chechnya. I had an email a while back from Cranky Todd, who let me know in advance that that was all just propaganda. There's too much smoke for there not to be fire. People being tortured over there where Russia is not our enemy. Being tortured and killed, rounded up, publicly shamed if that's all they get, which of course can lead to more torture and more killing extrajudicially. For nothing more than the way they love in the lives that they live. And hiding behind the fig leaf of religion, you've got people like Rick Joyner, who fundraise tax-free while standing in a baptismal full of innocent blood and calling it a religion of love and peace. I got a tweet from Isaac. Bob, I told this one guy I was an atheist, and he said, I'm Indian, too. I shit you not. Oh, at least he didn't pull out a gun and, you know, you get the idea. Atne ute aitbre these ischins cray. But what they lack in brightness, they make up for more pressed down and shaken together in bloodthirstiness and true belief. All right, break time. If you'd like to testify on this prayer meeting Wednesday, it's easy enough done. 304-574-8178 is line one. Line two, the stress line, which works for some but not for others, is 304-663-4676. 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. And from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. We love new callers and first-time callers. If you'd like to, just remember, it can't get any easier to engage in a talk program than it is here. Okay? All right. All right. So, a break and back. Yeah, salt on that margarita, please.
Hey, have you noticed that the world has changed? That the news is all bad? Well, I think it's time for a song about that. Up on the east side of Manhattan, they're still dancing with the stars. While over in subprime city, it's getting ugly in the local bars. Watching the news only gives me the blues. There's too much going wrong. It takes the likes of me to hit the reboot key and write a high-speed drinking song. Millionaires losing everything. Hey, welcome to the other side of life. There goes the yacht, there goes the Rolls, but you get to keep your wife. And don't forget the automakers, swimming upstream like a trout. They let the shit hit the fan, and then they made a plan. We got a lot to drink about. There's the price of oil, war of the spoils. Here's your bucket for the big bailout. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, we got a lot to drink about. Now Madoff with all the money, and his clients are down to skunk weed. Repeat after me, it's so easy to see, we're only talking simple greed. And those Somalian pirates are counting all their gold while Bush and Cheney ain't around. And all the good lookers seem to be Russian hookers from Key West to London town. With the price of oil, war of the spoils, here's your bucket for the big bailout. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, we got a lot to drink about. So pour me some Tennessee whiskey, pour me a fine Jamaican rum. That loudmouth soup can get you kind of loose. Tequila, of course I'll have some. Well, the family devalues, and little children plan their network. And the truth, wherever it's hiding, can't be found on Google Earth. City banks buying jets with our money. I want to flog them with a buggy whip. Let's hope Barack and Joe won't let the volcano blow and patch the hole in our sinking ship. There's the price of oil, war of the spoils. Here's your bucket for the big bailout. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, we got a lot to drink about. Recession, aggression, depression, good God, CNN keeps bumming me out. I can't take another doomsday minute, got a lot to drink, a lot to think, a lot to drink about. God bless America.
And we are exactly halfway through this prayer meeting Wednesday edition of the Horn. That just seemed plenty appropriate under the circumstances. Yeah, salt. Salt. So, like I said, we had a ton of prayer meeting Wednesday material to go through. But the big news of the evening is, of course, the appointment of special counsel, otherwise known as a special prosecutor, to look into Trump and Russia. And as we learned, and of course it won't work this way because IOKIYAR, but a long time ago there was a special prosecutor appointed to examine a failed land deal. And the scope of that special prosecutor, his name was Kenneth Starr, with the help of some right-wing judges on the D.C. court, a couple of them, Sentell was one of them, I do believe, The scope of that investigation just kept expanding and expanding and expanding until Ken Starr finally got his fingers sticky on a blue dress. You remember the great Clinton, the great cleanest chase, right? Right. Interesting, isn't it, that the stock market had its worst day in 8 months on the same day that we finally got the special prosecutor. And again, not to put too fine a point on it, but I was out there in the Twitter sphere this morning. I tweet in the morning because I'm sitting there engaging in my filthy little habit that right. And where was it? Maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday that I just mentioned the consternation and pontificating count for nothing until, fill in the blank, the for-profit media clearly call for Trump's impeachment. And I stand by that. I absolutely do. And so now we've got a special counsel, because I guess Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein decided he would like to have a reputation after all, instead of just being seen by anybody with a functioning brain as a lickspittle to Donald Trump. Rod Rosenstein appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special prosecutor. Trump will now try to fire him, or will threaten to fire Rod Rosenstein if Rosenstein doesn't in turn fire Mueller. Interesting that this happens midweek and not as a Friday news dump. Because, I mentioned my filthy little 6 a.m. habit. I'm on the verge of suggesting that the title of that program that comes on MSNBC at 6 a.m. should be changed to "Will Mika Have a Stroke Today?" Because she's actually putting up the she's the one who's tasked with being disgusted by this all and being closer to saying the I word than anybody else sitting around that table. But yes, Rod Rosenstein, in a desperate bid to preserve what little remains of his integrity, after all, he did accept the deputy AG appointment from Trump, okay? I mean, you've spent almost your entire career in public service, and you've built up this reputation as a stand-up guy, and Donald Trump offers you a job, and you say yes? So practically every day, somebody's pontificating about what a great man and a tremendous general H.R. McMaster is. Not in my book, sunshine! He voluntarily accepted the job of National Security Advisor for Donald Trump. And there's a certain amount of hilarity involved. It's a sort of grim gallows humor, I admit. In the fact that it has now leaked from the White House that Comrade Kumquat thinks that H.R. McMaster... He talks too much. He just talks way too much. of course, it's getting to be like April 1945 in the White House. It feels like we're just a couple of days away from everybody lighting up and having a cigarette, if you know my reference there. Laurel with a message a few minutes ago. Now is when we get to find out what each and every one of us would do given the chance to stop Hitler. Godwin is dead. Trump grabbed him by the pussy and flung him into Lady Liberty's funeral pyre. Yeah. And there's a one of the more interesting people who showed up on that television program this morning. This is not just a recap, but they had on Yale history professor Timothy Snyder, who is the author of a new book. Go and just look up his name, Timothy Snyder, Professor Timothy Snyder. But he said that we don't teach history and civics enough in this country, and that's why we've gotten ourselves into part of the fix that we're in. And I couldn't agree more. And as soon as we can get... as soon as we can get things sorted out with Dr. Bill, he'll be back with the Virtual Center for the Study of the Constitution and Civic Responsibility, which is our effort here at the Horn to correct the mistakes of not teaching civics and history well enough. But more importantly, Professor Snyder remarked, and you could poor Squint was sitting there squirming in his chair because Professor Snyder was not afraid to use the H word. You know, Hitler. And he said, people have to resist now, because if you don't resist now, if you don't do what you can do now, what does that say about what you may or may not do when it becomes dangerous to do it? And his point is very, very good. If you can't resist him now, what will you do when there's a price attached to it? It's worth thinking about. Steve with a note says, remember this, a special prosecutor just 150 days into a presidency. Yeah. So there is a, there's probably just an absolute volcano blast of shit lava raining down all throughout the White House right now. As for the authorization, according to the letter appointing Mueller, he is, quote, authorized to prosecute federal crimes arising from the investigation of these matters. Potential collusion between Trump's campaign and associates and Russians. Meanwhile, Trump gave a statement, because none of his spokes creeps, not even H.R. McMaster, can give a statement now without being thrown under the bus. As I've stated many times, a thorough investigation will confirm what we already know. There was no collusion between my campaign and any foreign entity, even though all of them seem to have been having meetings with the Russian ambassador. It's just because they were
You remember what was going on last summer? Everybody was playing Pokemon Go. They were all looking for Pokemon. And Sergey Kislyak is really, really good at it. I look forward to this matter concluding quickly as soon as I can fire the special prosecutor. In the meantime, I will never stop fighting for the people and the issues that matter most to the future of our country. Robert Mueller, on the other hand, said, I accept this responsibility and will discharge it to the best of my ability. CNN quotes Senator Dianne Feinstein, DiFi, as saying, I think it was the right thing to do, and I believe they saw it as the right thing to do. Otherwise, they're going to have a fight, and it's not worth the fight. Okay. There's mutual suspicion of one side and the other. This clears that up and has a person whose reputation is as good as it gets, and he'll be very good. Here's a question, though. What does this mean for the committee work being done in the House and Senate? Does it mean that people like Jason Chaffetz get to go, whew, and go back to ignoring this thing that even Squint is now referring to as a constitutional crisis? As I've said so many times before, I do love it when the for-profit media finally catch up with what we're talking about here at the Horn. Because, you know, we've been in constitutional crisis since Trump's hand came off the Bible on January the 20th, 2017. That's when he first violated the Emoluments Clause. And, of course, the Russian business, which, of course, yeah, everybody knows. I mean, big bad Vladdy Daddy Pootie Poot, he's absolutely snuggly, and anybody who doesn't think so has been ponerized. Especially the ponerized people who've had the shit beaten out of them in the gay concentration camp in Chechnya. Right. But no, what does this mean for the House and Senate committees? I'll tell you what I think it means. It means that when they go home and when they run for re-election, the Republicans can say in their districts, when people say, hey, what are you doing about Trump? Well, there's been a special prosecutor appointed, and it would be wrong for me to say anything about that because there's been a special prosecutor appointed. And stop asking me about it. Understanding, of course, that there was a special prosecutor appointed back during the great Clinton cleanest hunt. And people like Asa Hutchinson and Lindsey Graham couldn't talk about anything but Bill Clinton's junk. I know, but Bill Clinton was a Democrat. And Clinton's, oh my God, Jesus, the devil! Yeah. Despite whatever statement was offered by the White House, make no mistake, they didn't want this. Because a special prosecutor pretty much has a license to do and a mandate to do as he wishes and see, you know, and just start pulling on little threads and seeing where they go. An administration official speaking anonymously to CNN said, it's still sinking in. We were told about it. Not asked about it, told about it.
in fact, during the press briefing earlier today, poor Spicy, who, did I read this correctly, that he's been offered $10 million for a tell-all book on the first 100 days? Good work if you can get it. Spicer said, frankly, there's frankly no need for a special prosecutor. We've discussed this before. You have two Senate committees that are looking into this. The FBI is conducting their own review. And I think if you can even look at what Acting Director McCabe said last week, he made it very clear that they have the resources that they need and that the work continues. Which is interesting in light of the fact that Comey was fired after asking for more resources for the investigation. He said that Rosenstein is desperately trying, Rod Rosenstein is desperately trying to rehabilitate his reputation, because he kept all on the down low, all on the hush hush, and the White House didn't even know that there was a special prosecutor coming until an hour before it was made public. And all of this becomes more than a little bit humorous. Well, not humorous, but news was floated earlier today that one of the leading contenders to be director is, wait for it, it's on its way, it'll be here in a minute,
Joe Lieberman. That's right, Senator Joe Lieberman.
Director, now that the special prosecutor has been appointed, because that was one of the talking points the Senate Democrats had, was that they were willing to try to hold up the confirmation of an FBI director until a special prosecutor had been appointed. I do love some of the ancillary stuff that goes with this story, though. For instance, John Kasich, governor of Ohio. Come on, we can do this. You know, or not. God, I'm so sorry for that crackly, staticky channel. That's the production machine playback, and I don't know if it's the sound card going south or something inside the board. An engineering degree would have been so handy. But no, I had to study. I had to study English.
I don't like people that say "I told you so," but you both know how much pressure, criticism, and heat I took because I was the one Republican who would not endorse Donald Trump, would not go to the convention. Some people thought I did it because I was angry or you know, bitter or whatever. It had nothing to do with it. The things that have swirled around this White House are the reasons that caused me not to move forward and support him, both in the primary and going to that Republican convention. I'm just sad for the country because we have to get to the bottom of this. And I believe this is not a time for Republicans to hide. And I also don't think it's a time for Democrats to exploit.
Oh, no. And, of course, in Republican land, Democrats are exploiting the issue if they so much as mention it or try to get to the bottom of it. Yeah, that would be exploiting. So that's one. But I guess I'll have to get up. I'll have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hell, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning every morning. Just to see how this is playing. But we do know whatever else we do know how the Trumpanzees are responding. With regard to with regard to the Comey memo and everything that went before it, Newsweek reports that, for instance, Trumpanzees in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, well, we still support him. He's our president. I was in, and I couldn't quite figure out a way how to snap a photo without getting myself in trouble. I was in the Rippy Mart earlier today. And I was standing behind a woman who had a six-pack Bud Light. And she was wearing a T-shirt that was two-thirds as long as she was, because of all the words that were on it. It was a white T-shirt with blue words on the back, and it said, on the back it says, "If you don't bleed red, white, and blue, then go to hell." Well, I'll be dipped. So I kind of sidled around and edged around, because I wanted to see what was on the front. Maybe a big American flag or a picture of a screaming eagle or a dead Arab or something like that. Any of that's possible here in almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan. But it was more words. And it was something like, "You're goddamn right I support Donald fucking Trump." And then on the back, "If you don't bleed red, white, and blue, you can go to hell. Red, white, and goddamn blue, you can go to goddamn hell." Whatever. And I thought, whew. Yeah, I'm guessing she's not bothered but much by the Comey memo. She probably doesn't know what the Comey memo is. Yeah, she's just waiting to be great again. Newsweek reports on a character by the name of Paul Visoki, a general contractor in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. "I believe Trump is doing the right thing," he says. "It's all bullshit. I'm just tired of it. I wish they would just play well with each other instead of all this infighting." Mm-hmm. Then there's Richard Sorokas, another Trumpanzee, retired from Procter & Gamble. He said, "Right now the positives are overlaying the negatives with Trump." Mm-hmm. And, of course, Mark Rabo, whose daddy immigrated from Jordan, he said, "I'd still say that it hasn't waned. The guy's only been in office 4 months. Usually takes over 1 year of a presidency to judge the direction of the country." Of course, these stupid bastards, well, they don't realize that a year of this, and there may not be anything left to save. And then there's Kim Wodrowski, a real estate investor in that self-same Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. At least they're not scurrying around West Virginia anymore. God damn, that got tiresome. "I don't know why all these Democrats are in an uproar. They wanted Comey's head for what he did with Hillary. Now they're trying to say, whoa, if it had been done prior to now, the Democrats would have clapped." Yeah. Note coming from Terrace. Subject line: "Now I'm pissed off. Exploit? Democrats can't exploit the situation? Repiglicans are Christians first and Republican Repiglicans second. They're not Americans. Fuck Repiglicans, especially when they say they're patriots." Oh, but they... Democrats mustn't exploit. And please understand, when just because he didn't get on the Trump train doesn't mean that John Kasich is some sort of moderate. He's as hardcore a weirdo wingnut as any there are. The only difference between John Kasich and Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III is an accent. Okay? We should probably just bear that in mind. And under Republican rules, saying anything except, "Oh, golly, Sergeant Carter, that Trump is just innocent as can be, hooty hoot," will constitute exploitation of the event. These dirty bastards. They still don't get it. Or if they get it, they're avoiding it. This isn't politics anymore. This is a constitutional crisis. Paul Ryan doesn't recognize that. Jason Chaffetz doesn't recognize that. The only reason Jason Chaffetz subpoenaed the Comey memo and memos from the FBI was in an attempt to bury them, to inoculate the Trump administration from them. Did I miss it, or did Jason Chaffetz issue a subpoena for any and all tapes in the possession of the White House? Huh? See? This isn't about making political hay. This isn't even about trying to take the House or the Senate, impossible Senate, in 2018. This is about trying to save the Republic. Plain and simple. I mean, Do the Republicans themselves not understand that if Trump is removed from office, we get President Pencil Neck Geek and all of his bizarre, misogynistic, can't be alone in a room with a woman, weird ass, goddamned evangelical fundamentalist religion industry horse shit? But we will at least get all that from someone who is at least marginally in proximity to something more in proximity to something resembling sane than the guy who's in the White House now. Because if there was some way of putting a Democrat in the White House, you might be able to make an exploitation argument. You might be able to argue that this was being done solely for political purposes. But if one even makes the argument about exploitation, one gives away the fact that one hasn't the first idea of how deep this problem runs and how serious is the crisis in which we find ourselves. Because it is a crisis. And as it relates to the future of the United States, this country has not been in more peril since at least, and may be in more peril than, the Cuban Missile Crisis. This isn't some parlor game played by lawyers arguing over how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. This has real-world consequences for every American, no matter how many Trumpansies wish it would just go the hell away. Yeah. So we come to the top of the end of the second hour. Note coming from Steve in New York. How about this? Take a story about Trump and replace the word Trump with Obama and read it to these knuckle-draggers. Just watch the "see, I told you so's" roll off their tongues. Exactly. With regard to political exploitation, Steve says, about goddamn right, I'd love to see the Democrats engage in some hardcore political exploitation for once. And just in case you were wondering, it has begun. No sooner had, the special prosecutor appointment hadn't even come out. And there he was, Geezer Disgustus, delivering a commencement address to the United States Coast Guard Academy. A commencement address. And the stupid, demented bastard crawls up on the cross. I know none of us should be, you know, surprised anymore, I guess. But it's still kind of hard not to be. There he is, their future commander-in-chief. Commencement addresses are supposed to be inspiring things. And I guess he was trying to be inspiring. But he wound up sounding, oh, self-pitying. Jesus. And now I don't have that audio. Maybe I will now. Try this again. Just get the hockey puck out. This is just a matter of sharing misery, okay? Really? Oh, go figure. Imagine that, tech gremlins. Well, at any rate, he told the graduating class of 2017, never, never, never give up. Things will work out just fine. You have to put your head down sometimes and fight, fight, fight. Then he said this. Look at the way I've been treated lately, especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. There were Trumpansies there, wearing their MAGA hats made in China. China! And wearing their Trump shirts, maybe like the one I saw in the Rippy Mart today. And they just clapped and clapped.
He said, I guess that's why we won. Adversity makes you stronger. Don't give in. Don't back down. And never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the most opposition you will face. The people understand what I'm doing, and that is the most important thing. I didn't get elected to serve the Washington media or special interests. We've saved the Second Amendment.
Okay, that's a little creepy. A Second Amendment reference? Really? A nudge and a wink to the members of America's most well-financed, most powerful terrorist organization, the NRA, to maybe, pick up his slack? Do you find this stuff sobering? Because I do. Meanwhile, some various and sundry responses to the appointment of Robert Mueller. Although he wasn't out there hollering for the appointment of a special counsel, Lamar, the plaid Avenger Alexander, said, during his service as FBI director for both President Bush and President Obama, Robert Mueller earned a reputation for independence and integrity, which are exactly the qualities needed to pursue the Russia investigation to its conclusion. The bipartisan U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence should also continue its investigation, and that should include a public hearing with former FBI Director James Comey sooner rather than later.
Profiles in Courage!
Yeah. Kitty with a note. CBS News reported that Special Counsel Mueller was given civil service protection so he cannot be removed by Geezer Disgustus. P.S. From which ring of hell are you broadcasting tonight? The sound coming out of TuneIn's a little scary. I wish I could tell you. It's just the same old ring of hell. But we've still got some tinkering to do with however TuneIn is picking up streams. And I'm glad to go to know that Mueller's protected. But still, don't think that there aren't conversations being had even as we speak in the White House in which Marcus Aurelius isn't.
We've got to figure out a way to get rid of him. Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?
We know how that line played out. Note coming from Jack in Shreveport. Ah, okay, thank you. Asa pointing out the TuneIn stream is only 8K at the moment. That's why it sounds like the ninth level of hell. We're working on it. Jack in Shreveport, subject line, Comey memo, Washington Journal. I'll bet you our buddy Good Todd down in South Carolina, he's aware of this. This morning's callers into Washington Journal were composed of a majority of cranky, loud-talking dumbasses. Oh, Wednesday, or Tuesday, or Friday, or Thursday. No. Were composed of a majority of cranky, loud-talking dumbasses that addressed the issue of the Comey memo mainly by talking about Clinton and Obama. Sure enough, one of them said something about that memo not being no evidence for nothing, no way. I guess they disagreed with what you said last night about contemporaneous notes of a conversation being admissible. Those folks from Kentucky Stan, Louisiana Stan, and the like are pretty damn good legal minds, you know. Veritable Perry Joe Bob Masons. Common Cause, a good progressive organization, issued a press release. Common Cause President Karen Hobart Flynn said, the voices of millions of Americans from all parties and every point on the political spectrum have been heard tonight. The appointment of a special counsel to oversee the investigation of Russia's interference in our election and possible connections. Oh, God damn it. Common cause has been polarized too. Son of a bitch! They think that Russia was meddling in our election. Russia wouldn't possibly do that. The Russians are such sweet people, and they've got such a democratic government. Okay, let me get back to all seriously. The appointment of a special counsel to oversee the investigation of Russia's interference in our election and possible connections between the Trump campaign and the Russian government is a positive, necessary first step in response to their demands for an independent investigation. This is proof that our democracy is resilient, but we must remain engaged to ensure that Congress and the Department of Justice act to protect the independence of Director Mueller's investigation. Common Cause continues to support creation of an independent commission similar to the 9/11 Commission to augment the efforts of the special prosecutor and follow the evidence wherever it leads. I have not been a big fan of the idea of an independent commission. Because, as I noted previously, that if you get more than two or three people in Washington, D.C. together, they can scarcely agree what to top a pizza with, let alone what the facts are in a given case. And I remain skeptical after, say, the 9/11 Commission, in which Dim Leader was not allowed to come and speak to the commission, even not being under oath without being able to sit on Count Dicula's lap so that Count Dicula could move his mouth for him. Meanwhile, Danielle Bryan, the executive director of Project on Government Oversight, said, "This is a strong first step and an appropriate choice for special counsel. Investigations must go beyond looking solely at criminal behavior, however, to get a more complete picture of any possible significant but non-criminal wrongdoing. Congress also plays a constitutionally important and complementary role, both through its oversight and looking for broader concerns that may require legislation to address. We now also need Congress to stand up a properly resourced and empowered select committee that produces public findings so that the country can have confidence that the rule of law remains intact." I would differ with that analysis just ever so slightly. I would have said so that the rule of law may be restored. And just for the sake of perspective, bear this in mind. A special prosecutor, no matter what he finds, if he finds a treasure trove of criminal activity on the part of Commodore Cantaloupe and all of his minions, all he can do is say, "Here's what I found. Here's what they did." It yet remains to the House to act. And we're talking about the I word, impeachment. And after impeachment, it remains to the Senate, run by chinless Mitch McConnell, to do something about it. But it is, you know, a start, at least. So we'll see where it goes. About 42 minutes or so remaining in the program. Y'all have been quiet this evening. If you have something to say about this, it is far better that you say it now than wait until 10 minutes before the program and go, "Bob, let me tell you my 57 points about this." And I go, "Oh, man, you know, we're out of time." The heart and soul of this program is what we call conversation radio. and it's hard to engage in it if we have to rush through it. Therefore, if there's something you want to say, I strongly encourage you to speak now or for, well, not forever, but like till tomorrow or what, hold, you know. All right, let's try, okay, hold on, stand by. Okay, let's see how this plays out. Let's we haven't heard from Flavio in a while. Let's check in. Let's check in Wisconsin. Hey, Flavio.
Hello. How do you do?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Yeah, we had two downpours in La Crosse in one afternoon so far.
Well, at least you didn't get tornadoed. Other parts of Wisconsin did.
Yeah, I know. We had warnings. We had. Tornado warnings, and I think we have watches. We had tornado watches, and it just I love it how it just comes down in one fell swoop, you know. It's like boom. The heavens open, and I think we might be having another downpour, but
well, there's another system behind the one that hit y'all. Yeah. Might have some tornadoes in it. No, I saw this. There were 25 people killed, Oklahoma Stan. One person was killed in Wisconsin.
It's only mid-May.
I mean, where I grew up down in Alabama, you start kind of keeping an eye. Well, back then, now they do it in January.
Kidding. It's coming down hard now. It's weird. So that makes it the third downpour within the last 3 hours. Oh my!
Soaking rain that, it doesn't soak. It runs off, so it doesn't really do the agricultural folks up there any real good.
And I know the south side of town probably around in kayaks.
what river is that?
Mississippi.
Yeah, that's what I thought. La Crosse is right there on the Mississippi.
Yep, right on the banks of the Mississippi.
Just a little ways south of where the La Crosse joins the Mississippi,
yep.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah, I know that little neck of the woods. That's around
beautiful, really.
Yeah, around Prescott, it's freaking beautiful. Those big old bluffs.
Yeah, no, I grew up here, and I love this area. It's just some of the most scenic area, one of the most scenic areas in the country. I mean, it is breathtakingly beautiful. And it hasn't been fracked yet or mountaintop removed, so coming, I'm sure. But no, I wanted to opine. Are you there?
That's the whole point.
Okay, no, I was thinking, you know, I owe everybody an apology because I was such a skeptic. You know, I was joking about Boris and Natasha. You know, well, you got to put yourself in my shoes. You know, like President Obama used to say, walk a mile in their shoes. You know, well, where am I from? I'm originally from Brazil, and until my teens, I lived in Brazil, and we were always, you know, under the Red Scare, and kind of pretty much knew that that we were being manipulated by Nixon and Kissinger and presidents before that, and you know, and we were pretty much in the middle of the struggle between the Soviet Union and the United States, and we kind of wanted to chart our own path, and it was kind of hard, you know, and we had dictatorships over us imposed from abroad. like the dictatorship in Brazil that lasted from 1964 to 1985, right? And that was supported by the United States.
Well, it was a right-wing authoritarian dictatorship. Naturally, the United States supported it.
And then it was kind of odd that the rest of the world was against apartheid, and the only two states in the world that supported it, South Africa with the United States and Israel. So it was kind of odd, you know, the two votes dissenting in the UN, you know. So that's why I was, you know, I was skeptical of the Russian thing. But then I saw this Dutch documentary put out by, I don't speak Dutch, I can barely read it, but it's this series.
Well, you disappointed me. I figured that was one of your languages.
Zembla, what is it? Zembla...
investigative reporters, something like that.
Onzoek journalistiek. Investigative journalism. Zembla investigative. And Varva, which is like the Dutch public television. And it's a two-part documentary. The first part is 45 minutes. The second part is 36 minutes. The second follows the first on the YouTube playlist. And it's just...
It was kind of creepy, wasn't it? I only saw the first part.
Holy crap. I mean...
He's mobbed up to his eyebrows.
Up to his eyeballs, yeah. It's like, oh my God. This guy. And it's the Russian mafia and the New York mafia, you know, and they're Orthodox Jews, so it's like Wahhabi Jew, okay?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's entirely unfair.
Well, I mean, these people. What was the one of the protagonists in the or antagonists or was saying? At a congress or something in New York in Hebrew that, you know, people ought to bow down to people of means and you know, I don't know. I'm always horrified by people that believe in the divine right of kings and wealthy people, and I thought that was the idea of America years before the French Revolution, or some years before the French Revolution, you know. I thought that was the idea of America, the abhorrent divine right of kings.
Well,
did I miss something?
No, you didn't. Didn't miss anything.
Except the last 30 years that we're all of a sudden enamored of royalty and heraldry and...
Well, look, Fabio, look what happens every time that that welfare family over in the UK has a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every for-profit media news department packs up and goes to London to see the little git's first poop.
I know. I thought we abhorred that, you know, that was the idea of...
Well, there's abhorring and then there's abhorring. No, we love it. And look, let's be... Okay, we'll get history nerd here for a minute.
Go ahead.
That strain is nothing new in American politics. You got to bear in mind... You got to bear in mind that at the same time that Franklin and Jefferson were enamored of the French because, you know, heads started hadn't started rolling yet. One of the oldest coffee shops restaurants in Paris is a salon where Jefferson or where Franklin hung out and held salons. Our buddy Chris in Germany was there not too long back. She sent pictures. It was so cool.
No,
But anyway, at the same time that we were that part of us, part of some of the framers and founders were enamored of the French, people like John Adams were disgusted by them. Because John Adams was one of those New England patricians who, you know, it would amaze you that he could even walk because of the gigantic stick up his butt. Mm-hmm. And so he was much more comfortable and much more amenable and friendly feeling toward the British.
Mm-hmm.
And so that and then by the time you get the get around to the Constitutional Convention and the discussions about what should we, you know, what form of government should we have, lo and behold, that nasty little Caribbean bastard, Alexander Hamilton, hops up and says, "Well, by Jove, I think we should have a king. And it should be George Washington. And I should be his little prince." So that strain is nothing new. That strain runs through the American experience. That's not to say it's necessarily good, but yeah, I love the English. I'm mostly English. I love the Scots. God help the Irish for what's been done to them.
But
from the very beginning, we've had a sort of contrarian resistance to our own freedom, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That's an interesting way of putting it, a contrarian resistance to our own freedom. And yet the world borrows freely and often thanklessly from American ideals of freedom and autonomy and local autonomy and freedom from religion and all that and enlightenment science. Gosh, enlightened ideas about sex.
Oh, don't even. Don't even.
The world looks up to the United States. I mean, did so.
If the hung up Calvinistic Protestants who spread their way across the North American continent hadn't had some way of making sex feel dirty, they never would have been able to populate the nation. That's how hung up we are.
But I'm saying in the idea of America that the world has, you know, was when there was some progress being made, you know, in the 60s or 70s maybe.
No, it only felt like it.
Women's liberation, all the
kids who were dancing around wearing necklaces made out of kidney beans and dry pasta in the summer of love, quickly, you know, they got over it, got down, got to work, registered as Republicans, and gave us things like Ronald Reagan and George Bush and George W. Bush, and now, in their old age, Trump.
Yeah, God. So you're saying that
I didn't always live
in the United States, so I missed a part of it, and the 60s was a part that I missed in the 70s. So,
well, I was a kid in the 60s, so it's not like I was participating, okay? But from where I stand, yeah, that's what it looks like. A whole bunch of the hippies fucked in the mud for a few years and then stood up and said, "Wait a minute. It's time to be good little capitalists," and a few years later, they were waving their Reagan banners and hollering "Igum foo," and they fueled the greed sodden 80s.
Yeah. the Wall Street 80s and...
Greed is good.
Greed is good. God, you know, that became one of the...
Well, it's the in many ways, it's the defining trope for the 80s.
There's a site on the internet of great movie speeches, and that's one of them.
Boy, I tell you what, if you want some great speechifying,
the other one was The Great Dictator.
Do you you're familiar with the actor, the great actor Charles Laughton?
Yeah.
Witness for the prosecution. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want some great speechifying, look up a film called Advise and Consent.
Advise and Consent.
Yeah, it's black and white, which means that nobody under 25 will ever watch it. Wow.
I watch black and white movies all the time.
I'm channeling my inner geezer this evening. But
I'm only 51, and I love black and white.
Well, so do I. It conveys some things, you know. Well, it was
some
just
things are sempiternal.
But watch that film sometime. I think you'll be really quite taken with it. Henry Fonda's in it.
That would be a very young Harry Fonda.
No, it's not. No, it's not a very young. I mean, well, Henry Fonda wasn't that old when he died. He was up in his 70s, I guess. But no, it's him in the fullness of his mastery of the craft.
When was this movie? When did?
Well,
movie
I'm looking
come
it
out?
Up right now. It'll only take a sec.
No problem.
But it's a fine film, and it's about.
It's in black and white.
Yeah.
But it was, when did it come out? In the black and white era?
Color was, well, that's what I was saying. It was made in black and white, and it was a choice, not a necessity.
Ah, okay. Okay, so this was like, this was something akin to another great black and white movie that I loved.
It's got an 82% rating at Rotten Tomatoes. And you can't...
Did you see this one? This one was great, too. Good Night and Good Luck.
Oh, yeah, yeah, George Clooney.
Clooney.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
1962. Henry Fonda, Charles Laughton, Gene Tierney, Walter Pigeon, Don Murray.
Oh, Gene Tierney is amazing.
Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith, isn't there?
Yeah, and I believe a very young, young Betty White.
Oh, wow.
And if you watch it, you'll go, oh, I'm glad Bob mentioned this to me.
No, well, and can you give a, not necessarily a plot synopsis, but thrust of it?
It's a political drama. And it's 1962, which means it's contemporaneous with, for instance, 7 days in May,
mm-hmm.
2 years later. And there were a lot of people worrying after the Red Scare. And, you know, the Red Scare was still kind of on in 62, too. Not kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of people who were worried about where the government was going and about what forces within the government were willing to do to destroy people with whom they disagreed.
Well,
and it's all about the nomination of one man played by Henry Fonda to be the Secretary of State.
Okay.
So I don't want to go any further, but
No, I had to watch it, but no, I am by nature a skeptic because I just detest going along for the sake of getting along and just joining in national fevers, you know, which seem to always occur.
Well, I don't feel like the impeachment discussion is a fever.
No. And then after I saw that movie, that documentary, that, you know, everything started to click. I'm like, holy crap, this guy is really evil. I mean, he's more evil than Bush. And I thought Bush and Cheney were pretty evil. I mean, but they're garden variety evil. They're just, you know...
Dick Cheney's a psychopathic maniac, homicidal maniac.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know...
Having said that, Flavio, how crazy is it that Dick Cheney is shocked and disgusted by Donald Trump?
That is crazy.
How bad do you have to be for Dick Cheney to be morally offended by your conduct?
That
just puts the swirly straw right in the goddamn rot gut Mexican gasoline tequila bottle.
That's deep.
I mean, oh wait, I'm agreeing with Dick Cheney. Oh, fuck it, it's over.
Holy crap!
Not gonna stop drinking until I don't agree with Cheney anymore. Anybody got a new liver?
Yeah, that's. My God, no. I mean, no. This guy is up to his eyeballs in mob connections in Russia and the United States in the real estate business, and I know something about that, you know, peripherally, because I'm from a big city. I'm from São Paulo, Brazil. That's a big herb.
Yeah.
About 28 million people. That's one of the two largest cities in the Western Hemisphere after Mexico City. Mexico City's first, São Paulo's second. I guess New York is third or something like that. But it's a fairly large city at 28 million people. And usually the people that are in real estate are connected to the mob. Inevitably. There are some clean people, you know. This Lebanese entrepreneur, Henry Maksoud, Maksoud, Lebanese Christian, you know, he was a good guy. He wasn't a bad guy. He studied in Iowa, got an MBA of degrees and stuff. And, you know, he was a philanthropist and a good person generally. I guess you'd compare him to, who would you compare him to? Blumberg or something. I don't know. But not a bad person, not an evil son of a bitch.
Yeah, an altruistic plutocrat.
An altruistic plutocrat, there you go. But yeah, for the most part, my city has only had crooks for mayors. It's really bad. And anybody that's involved in real estate and is also a politician, you can bet they're in cahoots with the mob.
Well, before you, you're talking about my city's mayors were all crooks. Let me remind you of the following. Oh, come on.
Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores all get respectable if they last long enough.
There you go. Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores all get respectable if they last long enough.
That's great. Where is that from?
That's from Chinatown. That's John Huston's character speaking.
Oh, my God. I got to see that again. I saw that so many years ago. Oh, God. I got to see that movie again. I mean, you know I'm a cinephile.
Right. I love talking movies with you.
Oh, movie buff. I'm...
I've been... And, well, let me... I don't know if I mentioned this. I don't know if I mentioned this the other. I've been on kind of a, I've been on kind of a Nipponophile kick lately. So I've been watching some Japanese cinema, and reading some Japanese novels in translation. and wishing I had taken the opportunity to learn Japanese in college when I had it. But, you know, there was that mandatory class on the early second century AD novel, and, well, you know, there you go.
I watched
an absolutely wonderful film the other night. From I think 2013, and it was called Uzumasa Limelight. And
I've never seen it.
It's on Amazon Prime. Turns out there's a lot of great foreign films on Amazon Prime.
When I get a TV again, I'll probably consider. Can you just subscribe to it online?
Oh, sure. I watch my movies on a tablet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know, because I got rid of my television 2 years ago.
But with Agnes not being here, I have been trying to watch things where, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, because most things that I want to watch is like, ooh, I'm not going to watch this. Agnes isn't here. This is the kind of thing we'd watch together. And so I thought this was going to be a lot of sword play, and there is a lot of sword play in it. But it's oh so much more than that, so I can highly recommend it.
Okay. No, this isn't like the hanging eyeballs.
This is just a magnificent film, and its title is even an homage to Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, okay.
And last night I started a Korean film called Sword Brothers: The Showdown. I'm sure that's not even remotely what it was called in Korean. But it opens up with some, like Agincourt level slaughter. So I figured, oh, this has potential. I'm a peacenik who loves movies with lots of slaughter in them. You know, not horror movies, Flavio, not chainsaw. Right. Don't go into the basement, you silly movies. But
yeah, no, because some of those Japanese horror flicks have gotten a little bit too gory. Just, you know, the hanging eyeball and all that, and the chainsaw, and, I don't know, blood, and I was like, no, I would not want to watch that. That's just not my cup of tea.
Well, Flavio, it has been delightful to hear from you. I want to
can I ask you one question? Have you seen The Wind Rises?
No, I have not.
It's an animated historical film by Hayao Miyazaki. And I recommend it.
The Wind Rises. Is it how old is it?
Oh, 2013. And it's done by Studio Ghibli, directed by Hayao Miyazaki. And it's a fictionalized biopic of Jiro Horikoshi, 1903-1982, designer of the Mitsubishi A5M fighter aircraft and its successor, the Mitsubishi.
Oh, the Zeke.
Zero.
The Zeke. Yeah.
The Zero. By the Empire of Japan during World War II. It's a beautiful, beautiful.
The Wind Rises. I've just written it down. I've got something to watch.
The Wind Rises, and it's beautiful. And it was a friend of mine, my adoptive sister Cassandra, who turned me on to it, and I was just mesmerized by how beautiful that is. I mean, and it was the highest grossing Japanese film in Japan in 2013, and it won a bunch of awards.
Well, we spend a lot of time talking about right wing resurgence in Europe. There's no small element of that in Japan as well.
Right, but at the same time, this movie is worth watching. There is a wiki on it. There's a wiki page on it, but it's kind of interesting. It's food for thought. And then watch it, and then get back to me on it. I wonder. I was spellbound by it, and it may hold the key to understanding some of our contemporary situation. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
All right. Well, you have yourself a Jim Dandy evening, Flavio. It was good to hear from you, and we will talk soon.
Oh, we will talk again. I apologize. I don't like talking too much. I wouldn't be very good at radio.
You do. You oddly enough, you do just fine. You take care, Flavio. Have a good night.
From you, that's a compliment. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
My buddy Flavio, calling from Wisconsin. And thanks go out. It's been rather of a lean evening. Thanks again to Fab for finishing off the Mayday May Challenge. And thanks very kindly to Steve and Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. They're such good puppies. For jumping in first this evening. And thanks to Bill as well. Between Steve and Ms. Karen and Bill, we've knocked out $30 of this evening's fundraising. And it is much, much appreciated. Because I've still got scary-ass amounts of bills to pay after the goddamn car repair disaster. Sorry, but I do. I'm not milking it. It just is what it is. And speak of, well, I won't say the devil. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob. What's going on?
You know, just sitting here doing a radio show, man. What about you?
I got the cheesy-ass headset on, so I sound like the Tin Man.
Well, no, you're fine. It's me. Remember, I sound like I'm in some level of hell. And I found out why. It's because TuneIn's only running the 8K stream, which is otherwise known as the Bob in a Barrel stream.
Yeah, and a lot of your secondary audio clips sound crackly.
Well, they're crackly. They're crackly.
It reminds me of an old 45 album that I've had.
Yeah, but I hate that because it sounds twice as bad in my headphones. And it comes from the fact that we're using an ancient mixing board running through an ancient sound card in an ancient computer.
So that has nothing to do with your connections or your wiring or any other of that crap?
No.
But, yeah, I love the cinema talk. You know, I'm a movie buff as well, and I don't think Raging Bull would have worked in color to you.
No. No.
And then again,
it's not like color wasn't an option for what, High Noon? Was High Noon in color?
Right. I don't think so.
I mean, the African Queen was in color, but.
And Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? They had the tech to put that in color, but didn't.
Well, sometimes I get lost because I remember the fit that took over Ted Turner, one of the first ones he colorized was Casablanca, and it looked like it was done with Crayolas.
According to Mr. Hogg, didn't he sleep precise?
Yeah, and there's a reason. Those were choices.
But the most probably black and white into color and back and forth, and nobody else had the balls.
You know what? That has been tried. It worked fairly well.
But to that. To that extent?
Yeah. And I can't remember what it was, but it seems like I either saw it or was reading about it recently. Darn it, can't remember. But I will, and this is from the plebeian side entirely. Baby Groot is absolutely... If you, Baby Groot, in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and not just be, there is, you have a dead soul.
Melt your socks off, huh?
Oh, well, I mean, it's charming. And then the little teaser at the end for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Oh, I can't wait.
But make a horrible transition. I always make notes. I'm going to call Bob tonight, and by the time I make my notes and 5:30 passes and the news cutoff is done, the whole news line has changed.
Right.
Everything
I mean,
it's moving so quickly here, man.
That's why I'm going to get I Can't Keep Up tattooed on my neck right next to where I've got it tattooed. Only God Can Judge Me.
So what is your take real quick on this Mueller as an independent prosecutor? Or how do you feel about that? What is your gut telling you?
you know, it seems like a little bit of a finger in the eye because he was the guy that that Comey replaced.
Right, and when he appointed in, let's see, 2001, wasn't that Bush?
Yeah, that was W.
Yep.
But so he also but he also served under Obama.
And Obama actually asked him to stay on beyond his 10-year term. So,
if I recall correctly, that yes.
So I don't know. Everything's just moving so quickly, and I almost
well, it's going to slow down now.
I almost just wish we could tolerate this SOB. Back to Bob's Plan A, where I don't know if you remember this or not, where we take over the House. When I say we, I mean the Dems, come next election cycle. And then we could just get rid of the whole damn bunch and put the Speaker of the House, who would be a Dem if we took over the House, and we would be in a much better place than putting the current Vice President as President. But I don't know if we could tolerate Trump that long.
Well, that no. It's not a matter of maybe tolerate's the right word, Steve. But I don't know. I think I lean more toward the word withstand. I don't know if this country can withstand.
Right.
Trump for that long.
So we'd be better off just getting Pence in there, and then.
Well,
it would be hard to do a double impeachment. Difficult, very difficult.
Well, the thing is, you had it worked out differently with Nixon because Agnew was just a petty little grifter from jump. And so he went down first, which meant that Gerald Ford was then appointed vice president. And that's how Nixon cut the deal to get the pardon. I'll make you vice president. You'll be president, but you have to pardon me.
But you know Trump's VP has got to be neck deep in the shit as much as Trump is. He's not that naive. He's not a stupid man.
No, and I suspect he was in charge of the transition, remember?
Yep.
So that means that he was aware of what a sleazy bucket of fish guts Michael Flynn was. And again, depending on what the special prosecutor, the special counsel finds out, it may lead to the both of them.
Okay, let me put you on the spot here, pin you down, Bob. Bob Kincaid's Perfect World, if you could wave a wand, what would you like to see happening from this day going forward?
You mean like I wake up in the morning?
Well, if you could just make things happening, not being able to change the past, but going forward in the future, what would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see Pence and Trump both gone, and Nancy Pelosi, president of the – or not Nancy Pelosi –
Paul Ryan,
the President of the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though Ryan is the mastermind behind a lot of these archaic...
Well, Ryan's the mastermind the way that Yosemite Sam is a mastermind, okay?
So you think he's
the bullshit
him.
Equivalent of what passes for an intellectual among Republicans. And that ain't much. You know, when the smart guys of the party are Paul Ryan, Jason Chaffetz, and Mike Lee from Utah, well, you know. I mean, when the sane voice in the room is actually chinless Mitch McConnell. Understand, your Freedom Caucus and your Birchers, Baggers, Birthers, Deathers, Booger Eaters, etc. despise Paul Ryan.
There was a rumor floating that they wanted to make Joe Lieberman head of the FBI.
No, I heard that earlier this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made the appointment of Mueller particularly. But it would be comedy gold. His entire Senate confirmation hearings would be done in the voice of Droopy Dog. I think that we've got to make sure that the FBI is
is a well-run organization that can protect us against the Arab terrorists and the Muslims.
So as far as an independent prosecutor, do you think this Mueller guy will work out?
Well, whether I think so or not, all we can do is sit back and watch, because it's what we've got.
And we've only got 2 minutes and a quick 1 minute question.
He's a hell of a lot. I would speculate, Steve, that he's miles better than Ken Starr ever was.
Yes. But would Trump have the authorization to fire him like Nixon did? His independent.
No, case? I'm told by email in an email from Steve that he's got some sort of level of civil service protection. And no matter how badly he wants to, Geezer Disgustus can't fire him.
Well, that's rich. That's rich. Bob, we got 1 minute left, brother.
Well, so we do. Thank you. Right, thank you for keeping an eye on the clock, Steve.
I'm going to let you out of here. Nice talking to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, and thanks for helping out this evening. You and Bill were a big help. I appreciate it.
Let me put out a cry for help. Please help Bob. He needs all the help he can get right now. Between the truck and the servers and all this crap going down, it's taking a hit on him. So, please, man. I mean, even couch change. Everything counts, doesn't it, Bob?
Well, it absolutely does.
All right, Bob. Well, you have a good evening, brother, and thanks for taking my call.
All right. We'll see you, Steve.
All right. Take care, man.
Later night. Now, our good buddy Steve from Georgia Stan. All right. Time to go. Hopefully, our overnight crew will bail us out to a certain extent this evening. And we won't be looking at a $370 fundraising goal tomorrow night. Thanks to everybody who participates. Thank you for listening, sharing your precious finite time engaged in this conversation. I say that a lot, but I mean it sincerely. The older I get, the more I appreciate the concept of the finitude of time. And so I thank you. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan, our midweek pinch-hit utility prayer meeting Wednesday chat room moderator. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you, Ben Birch, for all the work you've been doing. Thanks, Brother Deacon Asa, for making it possible for us to send out two separate streams this evening. Thank you, Asa. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.